Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
So I'm glad to be back. Let me just say that. We've been on a cruise ship. And most of the time it was like this. And then a few days we went like this. But now we're back. And for a few hours after we got back, I kept sliding back and forth. But I think I'm back to normal now. I just thank you all for praying for us while we were gone. I felt your prayers and we got a real much needed rest. Thank you. So I'm glad to be back. There's nothing like being at church in your church. We were on the boat. They had three pianos on that boat, and I couldn't get to nary one of them. So they had a karaoke night. They made a mistake when they asked our family to sing. So I was with my brothers and sisters and some friends, about 35, 40 of us. And so we got up. They said, well, we're going to close out with Tim, and the guy was foreign, and he couldn't say our name right. So anyway, we all got up there, and we started singing, you know, from Sister Act, Oh, Happy Day. So when we got to When Jesus Washed, something happened. There was a few people from some different persuasions. You just use your imagination. When we started saying Jesus, they were like, then the Holy Spirit came in. And that boat started rocking for Jesus. And we started having church up in there. Yes, sir. I think that was on Wednesday night. By like Thursday and Friday, we would catch people. And there was about 2,800 people on the ship. And people were coming up. Were you singing in karaoke last night? Man, that was the best thing we've heard all week. Oh, and they just kept going on. Y'all gonna sing again tonight? But it was because right halfway through the song, the Holy Spirit showed up. He showed up like he always does when he's exalted. And that's what we did this morning. So I'm praying. I'm going to pray right now. Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit. You sent him that we would have power to witness, that we would have a seal on us to guarantee the commitment we made to you until Jesus comes for us. The Holy Spirit to remind us of everything you taught us and to teach us. And so today we present ourselves to you as vessels of honor that you would teach us, that you'd speak to us. And Lord, I pray that you meet every need in this house right now. Holy Spirit, feel free. We just obey your word, obey what you said. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So how many of you ever heard of a cartoon character named Underdog? Y'all remember Underdog? Some of you are too young for that, but I think they've been playing it in reruns. It's a little dog who looks pitiful, and he has the personality of a real human, so he's obviously not really a human. He's not really a dog because dogs don't talk. But he can talk and fly around and do stuff. But on the outside, he's a shoeshine boy. And I did some research on the Underdog. And he's a shoeshine boy, and he be shining shoes, mild mannered shoeshine. It's kind of patterned after Clark Kent, you know, a mild mannered reporter. And then when trouble comes, pa 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 pa. And he goes, when Polly, his girlfriend, was sweet Polly purebred. Somebody had a creative mind. But he would say, when help is needed, I am not slow. It's hip, hip, and away I go. Remember that? Or the biggest one was, there's no need to fear. Underdog is here. So we're going to talk about, some of us have we have an underdog idea. I'm going to condense my time today. Next week, I'm getting to speak again, and I'm going to be talking about more of this underdog thing. But in the meantime, we'll talk about Peter in reference to being an underdog. I'm going to give you the definition of underdog. It says it's a person or team that's expected to lose a contest or battle. That's what Webster said. The English dictionary says it's a person or group of people with less power, money, etc., influence than the rest of society. The Webster's New World College dictionary says a person who's handicapped or at a disadvantage because of injustice, discrimination, etc. I decided to look up, what's the synonym of underdog? It says it's a weaker party, a victim, a loser, and then it says a little fella. That would have been me. Little person, yeah. That last description is more likely to describe many of us at some point in our life. We're a little person. We look at ourselves that way. I want to speak to that today. I want to speak to those people who have ever felt like that or feel like that right now or who are looking for something to change. Because I got good news for you. God loves the underdog. Amen. I believed that when I was a kid, that no matter what happens in this earth, I can always go to God. No matter what the police do, no matter what the government does, no matter what the law does, no matter what my teachers did, and I had all kind of stuff done to me. I got kicked in my rear end one day by a certain person of another color, and I got called a name. And I didn't do anything to deserve that. But you know what? It doesn't matter, because I know God is at the top of everything, and he can change how we live. Amen? He can change my life. He can make me more than I am by myself. So that's what I'm talking about today. Let's go. Darryl, can you put up the scripture? Matthew 14:22. Peter is an unlikely candidate for being an underdog. Let me give you a background about him real quick. Peter was one of the first disciples that Jesus called. Peter was a fisherman. And most of us don't really have a clue, unless you watch one of them fisherman shows, what fishermen are like and what they do. They're not mild-mannered reporters. They're rough and tumble. You got to wrestle down Moby Dick and you know, all them things. That's what they were dealing with. They didn't have as much technology as we have today, and they float around in boats, and they caught fish, and they were rough, and they smelled, you know, yeah, it was bad. So that's what Peter did for a living. So he wasn't an intellectual. He was a lot like me and you, at least me anyway. He was just an average guy. Some people say Peter was a big guy. I've did some study, and I got some conflicting reports. But we'll have to wait to heaven to find out how big Peter really was. But I can imagine he wasn't a weakling. He was pretty strong. And I've seen some 110-pound guys that could lift twice their weight. And so he could have been one of them guys, or he could have been like, you know, Goliath's little brother. Either way, Peter was a rough guy, and Jesus found him. Jesus found him, just like he wants to find us. So let's read in Matthew, the 14th verse. If you would stand with me, we usually do this first, but I'm doing it second today. And we're going to honor God's word by reading it together. I'll read the first verse in verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountains by himself to pray. What's your part? Oh, I read your part. He went up on the mountain by himself to pray. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear.
But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying,
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.
So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased together. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You may be seated. So we're going to kind of study this for a minute and look at, see what is going on in this. In verse 22, it says, immediately, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but immediately, Jesus, knowing their situation, he spoke calm to them. Excuse me, I'm reading the wrong place here. It says, sometimes in our life, God gives instructions to do something, but we have no clue as to what's going to happen the next day or even why. His intention was that while he was dismissed, while Jesus dismissed the multitudes, that the disciples would be going on ahead of him. His intention was to go to the other side to complete the journey. So the picture that we have is there's a bunch of people in verse 21 and earlier. There are a bunch of people. They're pushing Jesus to the edge of the lake or the sea, and he wants to talk to them. So instead of moving them all back, he grabbed the boat, got in the boat and moved a little bit away from the shore so he could speak to everybody. And at that point, the disciples are in the boat with him. And then he dismissed the multitudes after he finished talking that the disciples would be going on ahead. His intention was, again, to go to the other side, to complete the journey. But God always has a plan in his mind. We used to sing a song. When I was a kid, it was called, I'm in his hands. I'm in his hands. His way is best, you see. I'm skipping some of the words because I can't remember them. But his way is best, you see. I'm in his hands. And I used to think it was kind of a corny song because, you know, well, I'm in his hands. But, I didn't really get that until I had lots of experiences. One of them was just while we were on the cruise. I mean, we didn't have any trouble, but one day we were in the middle of nowhere. Our cell phones didn't work, nothing. I looked out the window, and for as far as I could see was sea, S-E-A. Lots of S-E-A for miles and miles until I saw the white line, the horizon. And we drove for, you know, hours and hours, and there was still more sea. And it made me understand that as big as the sea is, God has me in this boat. If something's going to happen, I know I'm going to be covered. Amen? Amen. How many of you know that? Amen. Amen. So you got to trust God in the middle of whatever you're going through in your life. Anybody going through anything? That's a fair amount of you. How many of you have already gone through some things? Amen. Every hand should go up right there. I know I've been through something. If you've been living, you've been through something. Some of us that are young, we just think, I remember when I was 20, I didn't think I had ever been through anything. And I used to hear people talking about, God brought me out. He took me through. Late in the midnight hour, he gave me power. Hallelujah. And I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. I don't even have a clue, man. Everything's going the way I want it to. But eventually, you're going to hit a rough patch. Something's going to happen. You're going to slide off the road. You're going to meet, Stevie Wonder wrote a song, You Met Your Match. Yeah, you meet something. It's usually the enemy of your soul. And he presents some situation that you can't come up against. So you know you need to have, quote, your highest power. I modified that. God is the only higher power. Amen. The devil is a liar and defeated. Jesus is Lord. Amen. So verse 27 says, immediately Jesus, knowing their situation, he speaks to them. Don't be afraid, because what you see is that Jesus goes up to pray, and those guys are in the boat. And while they're sitting in the boat, it's hours have gone by. Hours have gone by, and the sea starts to get nervous and starts blowing and shaking and doing all kind of stuff. And the killer part is Jesus ain't nowhere around. He's praying. He's on the other side already. So the disciples, their boat has gone from being at the edge of the shore to being somewhere out in the middle. And that's the problem, because they can't see nothing but horizon maybe. They can't see any salvation for where they are. And that's when Jesus comes walking on the water. Jesus comes walking on the water. That's the funniest thing. If I don't know what I'd do if I saw some come walking on the water. You ever been scared in your own house? All of a sudden somebody comes in and they've been in the house the whole time, you didn't know it. They come up behind you and hit you or do something. You go, ah! I got Jerusha like that the other day. I won't tell you where she was when I did that. But it says immediately. Verse 28, Peter is the first one to speak. And he answered, Lord, if it's you. My question is, who else is going to be walking on the water 4 o'clock in the morning during a storm saying, it's me, don't be afraid? You have never had that happen before. Jesus is walking on the water and he goes, hey, y'all, don't be afraid. It's me. Now, maybe they can't see him. You know, I'm trying to live this with them. Maybe they can't see him because he's too far away. Maybe it's dark enough and there's no floodlights or nothing, so they can't make out his face. And I mean, I'm up here and there's some of you in the middle row. I can't really tell you who you are. But if I get closer, I can. So maybe Jesus is that far away, you know, maybe 30, 40 feet. But Peter goes, Lord, if it's you. So by the very description of Lord, he knows who it is. But yet he still says, if it's you. Now here's the killer word. He says, command me to come. Now, if you're Jesus, what are you going to do? It is me, Peter. Come on. I mean, that's what he doesn't have. Jesus don't really have a choice, because it is him. And Peter's telling him, commanding him, please command me to come to you. So Peter gets out of the boat and he starts walking. Peter was operating in faith when he did that. Where are we in this story? Where do you find yourself in this story? I'm depart from my notes a minute. There's a lot of storms that we're going through that Jesus is right there, but he's far enough away that we can't feel him or see him or hear him, but he is present. And he may have even said to you in this service today, I am with you. The word of God says, Jesus said this, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll never, that word means sometime, right? Never means never. Never. I'll never. If he's with you, he's with you. If you receive Jesus into your life, he's where? He's in you. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. So if he's with you and he's never going to forsake you, then you shouldn't be doing like Peter and worrying. Worry, worry, worry. We used to sing another song. Why worry when you can pray? Why worry? Worry is not a real good option for most Christians. You spend 30 seconds worrying, you should spend 3 hours praying. Because guess what? God is able to deliver. He's able to deliver. So when Peter stepped out of that boat, he was believing God that God said come, so he's coming, and he's walking. And then I don't know how long he walked before something happened. And he got to a place where the wind and the waves started blowing long enough and hard enough that he started looking at them. And when he did that, he began to do what? Sink. Say it again.
Sink.
What happens when we take our eyes off of Jesus? What happens when you stop coming to church? I'm going to stir up the fire a little more. What happens when you stop reading your Bible? What's that word?
Sink.
What happens when you start hanging around with the wrong people? What happens when you start speaking things that disagree with what God said about you? I'm nothing but a, you fill in the blank. I'm no good, I'm not, I can't, I won't. That's the, if you go back to my little description of a synonym of underdog, it says, let me see if I can find it real quick here. It says very nicely, the victim, weaker party, loser. Some of us have that mentality of, I'm never going to make it. I'm not good enough. I'm not black enough. I'm not white enough. I'm not brown enough. I'm not skinny enough. Or I'm not fat enough. Or I'm not smart enough. I'm trying to cover all the bases. I'm not... I don't have enough money. I don't, you fill in the blank. And then you put on the underdog hat. And my, again, my vision of the underdog here is somebody who is less than. It's not the hero. But God wants you to be the hero. He wanted Peter to be the hero. That's why he told him, come on. Get out the boat. Come on. Come on. There's a little movie. How many of you have ever seen, what's that movie with my Huckleberry?
Tombstone.
Y'all ever see that movie? Okay, not enough of you have seen it. But there's one scene in there where payback is about to happen. And one of the actors is a real quick shooter. It's a Western. And the other guy is a really, really good shooter. And he's challenged this other guy who used to be a really good shooter to come and mess with him. But instead of the second guy coming, his friend comes in his place, and he's a good shooter. And so he just stands there, and he's like, I want y'all all to see. He stands there, and he's like, I'm your Huckleberry. Come on. Draw. And the guy goes, and he goes to draw, and my boy goes, boom, 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 puts his guns back in. And the guy's like, and then he says, come on. Come on. And he's telling them to come on. Like, I know you think you're going to get me, but you can't. And that's kind of how Jesus is with the devil. He tells them to come on, because I got something for you. I got a little something for you. And Jesus said, we could do that too. He said, greater works than these shall we do. So when the devil comes to us, we can tell him, come on, I got something for you. It's not a bullet, it's the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Amen? So there's two comes. There's the come to Jesus because Jesus calls us. There's the come to take over from the enemy of your life. This is when you come and step out of being a victim into being a victor. Amen? It's how you move from being a weenie to being, you know, mighty Christian. Amen? Amen? This is where you move from, I'm a victim and I give up when the devil beats me up, to, in the name of Jesus, I command you to loose your hold. This is when you're sitting over here as a victim and you're like, I don't know what to do. It seems like every time I try, I don't win and I don't know what. And you get from that point to, in Jesus' name, I am more than a conqueror. I'm a conqueror, but I'm more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. Put on, get some of your spiritual spinach Get them Popeye muscles going. Amen. Amen. So you don't have to be down there. I had a friend who once said, how you doing? And the answer was, under the circumstances. And he said, well, what are you doing under there? Get out from under there. Amen. Amen, amen. Our lives are full of opportunities to be successful and trusting God every day, as well as opportunities to go our own way and fail. Peter's an example for all of us that in that we can overcome the difficulties of life by trusting God and walking on water. Or we could look at the circumstances and sink. Luke 5, 1 through 11. This is where, this is Peter again. This is an example of a situation where Simon, he's also known as Peter, Jesus was getting ready to preach at the Lake of Gennesaret when he asked Simon Peter to use his boat to preach from. After preaching, he told Peter to launch out into the deep and let down his nets. It's similar to the other story, but he tells them to let down his nets. What you don't know is Peter and them guys have been fishing all night and didn't catch nothing. So when Jesus tells them to go and put down your nets, go launch out into the deep, Peter's response was, let me read it to you, so I won't speak it out of context. Verse 5, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Why did he bother saying that? But he says, nevertheless, since you're the Son of God, that I don't know that yet, but nevertheless, but he does know something because he says, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And when they came, they filled both the boats so that they began to sink. So I like the scripture. Exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask or think. He didn't just give him a few fish. He gave him exceedingly, that's one boat. It began to sink, that's abundantly. Above, that's the second boat, what you could ask or think, and it began to sink. God has provision when we obey. When we obey, God delivers us. Amen? How many times have we been in a situation and Jesus says to us, fear not, but we forget. We forget whose we are and we start looking at the wind and the waves. But if we do like Peter did, and this is why, even though Peter does a lot of goofy things, and we'll see some of this next week, he does a lot of things right. And that's kind of how many of us are. On the one hand, we can come to Jesus and really get saved. And then we can turn around and do stupid stuff. Because we've all done it. We don't have enough time for you to tell me about my stupid stuff. But God, who is rich in mercy, allows us to be successful anyway. So when Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, that's the thing that changed the ball game. Because he said, well, you said it, so I'm going to go ahead and throw the nets out anyway. And then the provision was there. They got plenty of fish. So today, what is it that God has said about you? Some of you are not aware of what God has said about you. So I'm going to say some things that I think you should know. One of them is, in 2 Corinthians, it says that we are the righteousness of Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means that we're able. It means that we've been forgiven from our sin. It means that we've been declared we're in right standing with God. And now we can do what Hebrews says, come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy in our time of need. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Yeah, God wants you to come boldly because of the righteous position you have. Now, you might have been sinning last night, but in God's eyes, especially if you've asked for forgiveness, in God's eyes, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not absolving you of your sin. If you messed up, if you sinned, you need to repent and confess and get it right. Let me say that again. God's grace is sufficient that if you sin, it says in 1 John 1:9, if you sin, you can confess your sin. He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all, not some, all of your sin. And now you're back in right standing with God the Father. That position, I preached this message some time ago, that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ. It's from that righteous position that we're seated in heaven. Obviously, we're all here right now, so we're not in heaven. But we're not physically in heaven, but in a manner of speaking, we have the same position in Christ. We're no longer underdogs. We're now overdogs. Amen? We're not under the circumstances, we're over the circumstances. We're no longer victims, but we're victors in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. So because Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, because he says we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, he says that the plans he has for us are to give us hope and a future, to bless us and not to harm us. Because he has that kind of great love for each one of us, we should be able to be successful. And if you're not, when I say successful, I don't mean have $1 billion. What I mean is that you have what God has given to you so you can do the purpose that he created you for in such a way that you're successful at that. And when you're successful at that, you will be happy, you'll be fulfilled, you'll be useful, and you will make waves. Amen? You'll do something for the kingdom. The superhero that, I didn't say this, but I remember when I was a kid, I wished I could fly like Superman. I took my little raincoat and tucked it around my neck and jumped off the couch. And I never got enough air to make the cape fly in the wind. But I always thought, man, I wish I could do something like that. And of course, then I figured out it was just fake. But still, the desire to do something great was always there. And God can do that for you. The Bible says, and the Lord told me this one day when I was walking down the street eating pizza. And I was having a discussion with some of my friends in New York City. We were talking about how we knew that we knew men of God that were great men of God, and we were admiring them. And then somebody mentioned the Apostle Paul and how great he was. And he wrote half of the New Testament. And, you know, he was just powerful and he was smart and he was all, you know, all these things. And while we were doing it, I was looking at my pizza going, man, I'm so far from any of that. I can barely eat this pizza and pay for it, 20 cents. I mean, that's how I looked at myself. I was 20 years old and walking down the street eating that pizza. But you know what? The desire to be like the Apostle Paul and other great men of God that I saw and knew was in me. And it should be in you. And so God spoke it out of me because he said, Paul, he didn't call my name. He just said, he quoted the scripture right back to me. He that hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. Not might be, shall be. And when he said that to me, I understood, well, maybe I won't be like the Apostle Paul. Maybe I'll be better than him. Who knows? But what I did know was that God was telling me, you can be everything I want you to be, which is good enough if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Who is righteous? He is. If we hunger and thirst for him, we will be changed. Amen? That's all I have to say to you today. If you want to change, you have to hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you want to change, worship team, get ready. Come on up. If you want to change, you can when you take the bull by the horns and commit yourself to God and be hungry for God. He'll change who you are. He'll change where you live and how you do business. You'll be renewed in your mind. Your whole purpose for living will change. Can you bow your heads for me? There's some of us who are looking at the things that we said today, looking at Peter and going, I'm not that guy. I can't do any of that stuff. I don't even know who Jesus is. You're talking about somebody I don't really even know. But you know what? You're here not by accident today. You're here because God wants you to hear that there's a way out of your circumstances. There's a way out of your situation. And the Holy Spirit's probably speaking to you. And I hope he has spoken to you to let you know that there's hope at the end of the tunnel. And that hope starts today. You have an opportunity to change your life today. There are many of us that have been living in a situation where God is not honored in our life. We know he's not. So this is an opportunity for you to right things. And you can't fix everything in one day, but you don't have to. All you have to do is put yourself on the altar and ask God to fix you. The Slaves wrote a song. I don't know who wrote it, but they used to sing it. It was called, "Oh, Lord, Fix Me." Whatever's broke, fix it. Whatever I need, fix it. Sometimes, like most babies, they never know what's wrong with them. They just cry. That's how we are. We don't even know what's wrong. We don't know why we do the things we do, why we're messed up. But Jesus said, come, just like he told Peter, come, everyone who's weary and broken and beaten down, and he said, I will give you rest. Now, he says that to everybody. So whether you know Christ or not, you can come. If you do know him, you still can come because God has everything you need. So if something that was said today is speaking to you, the Holy Spirit's talking to you, you want some of that, I want you to just raise your hand. Trust God right now. Raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Don't be afraid. Remember what Peter was looking at, the waves? He was looking at all the wrong things. Don't be afraid of what your friends will say or what people will say or what things will happen. Just trust God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Just keep trusting God. He has a place for you. He's got something good for you. If you're one of those who you backslid, some of you know what that means. Others of you, you made a commitment to God, and it means you turned away from him. So I'm inviting you to turn back. If that's you, raise your hand. Thank you. If that's you, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. If you have some area of your life that's broken today, and you need a touch from God, then I invite you to raise your hand. God's looking for you. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because God sees you right now. If you raise your hand for any one of those three circumstances, would you just stand? Would you just stand? I want to pray for you. Thank you for being willing. One thing I know, if I'm in the water drowning and somebody wants to throw me a life raft, I'm going to take it. I'm not going to go, well, you know, I don't like the color. Or it's not round enough for me, or it's not heavy. Or, you know what? You just take it. If you want something from God today, I want you to stand. If I didn't name what your situation is, but you want something from God, stand. And in a minute, everybody's going to stand. I want you who are standing to just come on down. Let's everybody stand. Everybody stand. And if you raise your hand, come on down to the altar to receive what God has for you today. Come on down. Don't be afraid. As we sing,
this is my desire to honor.
Come on down. Come on down. Come on and start the rest of your life.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.